sometimes in church and in the holiness of a moment, we don't know if we're allowed to clap or not, but I think I would appreciate it if we showed our appreciation to the worship team and those who've been doing a great job. When we get to the end of the sermon, you can do that as well. I'm just kidding. This will be short. I just want to offer a short reflection tonight as we gather around the scene of Christmas, the story of Christmas. And, you know, I was reflecting back. This has been a difficult year for us. 2020 has been a strange year, an unusual year. We keep saying it's unprecedented. And every experience that we've had has been, for many of us, new and unwanted, undesired. And for many of us, when we've had a difficult year, usually we would look to a time like this, Christmas, as a way to kind of exhale and to experience joy again and a sense of peace and to be reminded of the good things in life, whether it's gathering with family and friends or whether it's, you know, just eating a lot of wonderful food or enjoying sights and sounds and the sounds of music and the things that bring us just a sense of beauty and wonder in our lives. And this year, many of those things are lacking. And we can't quite experience it the same way. You know, and I've been thinking back to happier times. I've been thinking back to some of my childhood experiences of Christmas, what it was like to anticipate the coming of that day and gifts that were under the tree or that I hoped would be there under the tree. But I also thought about this one particular Christmas where I didn't have, you know, anything that I was really specifically looking forward to. I'm sure that I gave my parents lists. You know, I'm sure that I asked for certain things. I don't recall what those things were. But I was excited, like I was as a child. Many of you, it's been a while since you were a child, but maybe you remember some of that enthusiasm. Or you see a younger person and you watch through their eyes now. Or you guys are waiting for gifts tomorrow morning or something that will be just a wonderful experience that you're looking forward to. And I don't remember what it was I was hoping for, but I know that I didn't get it. The only gift that I got that year that I even remember with any sort of warmth and appreciation was this gift that I hadn't asked for. It was a small rubber purple goblin puppet. That's how bad my Christmas was. That was the best thing that I was enjoying. Just none of the gifts that I got were ones that I wanted. You know, I'm sure that I got something like a sweater that wasn't my size or color, my style. I'm sure that I got socks, things that I needed, but they just weren't exciting. They didn't have for me that sense of joy that I, you know, as a child wanted to experience at Christmas. Maybe you've had a Christmas that was disappointing. Maybe this is the year. And when we come to a season like this, I want to ask you, what are you looking for? Is there something that you're anticipating, that you're hoping for, that you're wanting to experience? Is there someone you're looking to see? What is it you're looking for this Christmas? And I want to examine the Christmas story for just a few minutes tonight and examine three groups of people who were looking for something on Christmas, the original Christmas. And as we look to their stories, I hope that it will cause us to reflect where our hearts are, where our eyes are looking, and maybe the better way to celebrate this year. So the story begins, really, with the story of the angels coming with a grand announcement to some shepherds off on a hill. The shepherds were outcasts. They were marginalized. They were outsiders. They were low-status jobs in their day. And they are the first people to hear the incredible news that Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is born. Let's read the announcement that the angels gave to the shepherds. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Of course, why wouldn't you be? I don't know about you. Has anyone here, and I don't want you to show hands because it might involve some other conversations later, but how many of you have had an encounter with angels on a hillside at night? If you have, please come and talk to me afterwards. Of course they were terrified, but the angels reassured them and said the words that a few weeks ago I shared here as a church. perhaps should be the greeting of Christmas this year. Rather than Merry Christmas, perhaps we should say the words of the angels, "Do not be afraid." That is the first message of Christmas. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. No one is left out on this announcement. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem was overlooked. It was small. It was not a place where usually big things happened. But here they are being told of an incredible announcement of one who was coming, who was the Savior, who would bring good news, joy for every person of the world. What an incredible announcement. How did the shepherds respond to that news? How did the shepherds respond to that announcement? Well, the next verses tell us. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What did they do? They hurried to do what the angel had announced, to see this child. And when they found him, well, they were just overjoyed with it to the extent that they needed to share the story. They went around telling everyone that they possibly could. And then they just erupted in praise and glory to God because of this incredible thing that they as outsiders had been invited into. Humble, lowly shepherds invited to meet the King who would bring everything right in the world. What an incredible thing. What an honor for them to be the first to hear that news. And of course, they experienced joy. Well, let's look at the next group of people. It's the wise men. The wise men were from a different nation of some distance. We don't know where. We don't know how far. We don't know the details of how they came to hear this news, but they saw a star rising in the sky. And that star signified to them that there was a new king in Israel. And they wanted to go and to see this. Now, they must have traveled quite some distance. They didn't know precise locations. They didn't have GPS. Turn left. Recalculating. There was none of that. And so they came to, as far as Jerusalem, where, of course, the king was. And they thought, surely the king will know where the new king is. And they go and meet King Herod, and they have a conversation, which we'll talk about in a moment. He directs them to Bethlehem. And then as they go, they see the star once again is alerting them to what they are seeking. This is what it says. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How did they respond to the news of this king? They responded by setting aside what they were doing and all their plans and everything else to leave their place of comfort and to travel for who knows how long to a foreign country to find the truth, to find the one they believed had come. And more than that, they set aside their own pride and egos as great wise men traveling from some distance. Obviously, they had means and the ability to afford travel. And they worshipped this baby, newborn king, and gave him expensive, costly gifts. They gave this little newborn king all that they had, the best of themselves. That was their response. Now, I mentioned King Herod a moment ago. Let's look at King Herod now. What was his response to the news of this king? King Herod. Well, when the wise men show up on the scene, let's read the story here. It introduces him and us to the setting. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men came from eastern lands, and they arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." Now, of course, to a king, to hear news of another king, well, he's being replaced. And he's finding out in this moment that he's no longer going to be the big man on the throne. For Herod, this isn't good news. His response is very different than the shepherds, very different from the wise men. And look how he responds now on the next slide. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men. See, unlike the shepherds who went and told everybody, King Herod wanted to keep this quiet. He didn't want anybody else to know. And his interaction with them was done in secret. He learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." Now, King Herod, he said the right things. He said that he wanted to find Jesus. He wanted to find this newborn king. But in reality, he doesn't have the same intention that they do. And for many of us, we've come to church tonight, and that's a wonderful thing. But the outward appearance of us may not be true to the inside core of our hearts. Where's your heart? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? King Herod says that he wants to look for this king himself and go to worship him. But is that true? No. As the story unfolds, we hear something quite different. In fact, let's go to those slides now. After the wise men have found Jesus and worshiped him, as we read a moment ago, it then says, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there until I tell you to return, because King Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" See, his intention is to remove his competition. And so Herod is searching too. But he's searching with a very different intent and purpose. It's a dark, destructive one. In fact, we're told later that when he finds out the wise men go away and don't come back and tell him where to find Jesus, and all of this unfolds, they've escaped to safety, King Herod is so upset by this that he actually takes it out on the entire area and kills all the boys under two. He does the opposite of the shepherds. Rather than bringing blessing and sharing good news, he brings incredible bad news and destruction upon his area, which he is meant to care for and rule over in peace. And he doesn't do that. He abdicates his responsibility in the most negative possible way. So we've seen different responses to the coming Jesus. And as we reflect on them, we've seen that the wise men gave of themselves and committed time and energy to pursuing Jesus. And what was their emotional experience? It was one of joy. And they gave of themselves, caring not for the things that they held on to, but they gave of themselves generously. What was the response of the shepherds? The response of the shepherds was to leave their business and to go and immediately seek what they had been told about, which they received with great joy and told others about so that others could get in on this incredible thing that had happened. But what was the response of Herod? Herod tried to hold on to his comfort, his position, his power. He tried to remain in control. What was his emotional experience? He was disturbed. He was angry. He was violent. Friends, when we are seeking to take care of ourselves and pursuing our own self-interest rather than one of generosity, rather than one of seeking the truth, rather than one of seeking the Lord, then we will look a lot more like Herod ultimately than the wise men and the shepherds. Are you trying to pursue your own comfort this Christmas? Are you most upset because you can't do the things that normally bring you joy? Those things that have been taken away from you? Some of those things are very good. Time with family, friends. Some of those things and opportunities are very pleasant ones. But have you been looking to them to do something that they could never do for you? Are you looking to them to provide peace for your soul and to settle your heart in a way that they never can because they can be taken from you, just as King Herod's throne could be taken from him? And yet, if we, like the shepherds, like the wise men, pursue Jesus, pursue the things of God first and foremost, and are willing to share those with others, to be generous in giving of ourselves completely and fully to God, then we not only find Him, God Himself, but we also find all the joy, life, peace, and comfort that only He can give. What an incredible thing for us to be reminded of in this season. In this time of difficulty, where so much has been taken from us, the greatest gift, that of Jesus Christ, which is our comfort, our peace, our hope, remains. And let me direct you now to the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking about how we worry about the things of this world. We worry about clothes, we worry about food, we worry about fashion sense and all these things. But he says this ultimately in Matthew chapter 6. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. He will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God where He is present and life is lived His way, and God will take care of you. He will provide what you ultimately really need. You will find Him to be your counselor, your comforter, your provider. When we seek after the comfort instead of the comforter, we will lose out. But when we seek the one who is the source of it all, the giver of all good gifts, then we will find all that we ultimately really need. What a wonderful promise. That's good news. Are you trusting in Jesus today? Are you seeking Him? Will you pursue Him? Will you trust Him? Will you allow Him to be enthroned as the King of your life? I pray that you will. And I'll pray today just that you would make that the focus of your Christmas celebration tomorrow. It's not too late to seek the King of Christmas. And that's good news. Let's pray. Jesus, may we see You as the ruler above all else. And may we pursue You above all else, because You are worthy and You are good. May we not look to the things of this world that are fleeting and can be taken from us, but may we look to the giver of all good gifts. May we find You to be enough, to trust in who You are as Savior of the world, that we might find that to be good news for us. And may we share that good news with all around us who are seeking, who are hoping, who are longing for something better. May we give of ourselves so fully and completely the best of all that we have to honor You and give You gratitude and glorify Your name. We thank You, God, that we have this moment to praise You and to look to You as Your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray words of gratitude and celebration.